The Gates of Horn and Ivory, by Francis Rosenfeld. Chapter 3. Eleusinian Mysteries. The communicants started their descent into the depths of the earth, with nothing to light their way other than the High Priestess's torch. The latter was tall, and her pallid members stood in stark contrast with her long hair, black as night, which flowed freely and draped around her shoulders like a mantle, and the black chiton, tied around her waist three times with a thin golden girdle. She wore a tri-faced mask, which wrapped around her head, hiding her identity, and on her temples, the silver horns of the crescent moon, the symbol of Hecate. As they continued their descent, the trail became narrower, sweeping between large boulders, overgrown with tree roots in places, its quietude disrupted by the sounds of an underground river flowing nearby. The supplicants' faces looked carved in stone, they all looked the same, as if their spirits have left them. They seemed unaware of each other's presence, their fixated stare darting into the darkness before them, as if something powerful inside it pulled them into its unknown depths, a ghostly army of the dead whose footsteps were muffled by the soft silt on the path. All of them had partaken in the ceremonial drink, a hot wine mixed with herbs and spices which felt like liquid fire running through their blood, a paradoxically still fire, bringing peace beyond understanding. Their spirits turned inward, leaving their earthly shells vacant and making them look as if they were sleepwalking down the path. The sound of rushing water grew louder as the path widened into a sandy beach, depositing the quiet group on a river bank. Its murky and fast-flowing waters looked ominous, even compared to their surroundings, and there was no inkling of what could lurk below their dark glassy surface. The priestess stopped, raised her arms above her head to illuminate the cave vault, and startled a cauldron of bats which descended upon the communicants, baring their sharp teeth and flying dangerously close to their faces. Nobody flinched, as if they weren't even aware of their surroundings, their gazes carried by the fast-moving river, their eyes blacker than its waters. As if summoned, a rickety boat emerged from the depths, so small and fragile it seemed impossible for it to carry even a small portion of the group, and yet they all embarked, paying their ceremonial coin to the river farer. The latter took their offering with bony, ice-cold hands, and when they were all aboard, he pushed the boat away from the shore with a long stick he had kept hidden under his cloak. The river took them and carried them deeper into the cave and vanished into a smooth lava tunnel where it rushed out of control for what it seemed like hours before getting disgorged into a broad and placid marsh overgrown with reeds. They'd been underground, going ever deeper since the beginning of the journey, and yet the tinge of Eos glowed on the horizon and there was no telling where the walls of the cave were. One by one they left the boat, walking to the shore knee-deep in the black waters, their bare feet touched by unknown creatures crawling in their depths, undaunted by anything in their passing, like butterflies following their transhuman journey purely on instinct, without fear or doubting its purpose. On the sandy shore, Persephone was waiting, holding a wide bowl of water in her hands, and urging them to drink. The second the liquid passed their lips, they suddenly awakened, as if from a long sleep, not worried or surprised to find themselves in this place, which they all recognized from before, untouched by regret or sorrow, newborn souls without a past. Who here dared attempt the journey? The goddess spoke the first words of the ritual, and a young girl, shivering in the goddess's presence, came forth. What is your name, maiden?
Eunice, goddess.
What is your purpose here? I came to seek your mysteries, with your blessing.
Are you worthy?
The goddess asked. Who here deems this woman worthy? The priestess with the tri-faced mask approached, bowed before Persephone and took the girl by the hand to present her to the goddess. I am Hecate, my queen, your trusted companion, and I am here on behalf of this supplicant who comes to seek your guidance. The crowd gasped as one at the unexpected revelation of the supernatural presence, whom they had all assumed human up until then, just like them, playing her role in the ancient rite, but nothing more. The reality of where they had travelled to and who they were speaking with sank in with icy certainty, slowing their pulse and smothering their breath in terrified awe. They had been all sworn to silence regarding this journey, under the punishment of death, and if until now any of them contemplated breaking this vow, in this moment they instinctively knew they wouldn't be able to, bound as they were by the unseen trammels of a higher power. What would you do if you were certain, in the absolute, the same way you are certain of the life you live right now, that the world beyond death is real?
That is what the chosen few allowed to undergo the ritual found at the end of their journey, certainty. They all looked around, in a daze, vaguely questioning how they were to return, questioning whether they wanted to return at all, one by one presented to the goddess and allowed to drink from Memosyne's waters, instead of those of the Lethe, so they would remember their journey. Their memories went much deeper, through the many lives they had lived before, all the way to the beginning of the world, where they all watched time move backwards, and the firstborn hatched of all creation, Protagonos, both male and female, fold his golden wings and concentrate its brilliance back into the primordial egg, which was made whole around it and sealed by the guarding presence of the serpent Ananke. That egg was everything, and yet, somehow, they were both a part of it and outside, watching it from a distance, sharing its essence but not privy to the knowledge it embodied, stricken by religious awe. Persephone felt a small hand hold onto hers, and turned her head to see the young girl, who was so mesmerized by the spectacle of the glowing primordial egg surrounded by a snake, she forgot herself and reached out to her for comfort. The girl couldn't have been older than 15, and Persephone was amazed how someone that young got chosen for the privilege many spent their lives waiting for. She must have been the daughter of a king, and a powerful one at that, one whom she'd promised her favor. Eunice, the name didn't ring a bell at first, until the story burst into her mind with great force. Eunice, of course, she was to be a sacrifice to the Minotaur, poor kid, thank the deities she didn't encounter that terrible fate. How did this child dare to undertake a journey so frightening after everything that had happened to her? She held on tighter to the girl's hand, overcome with the desire to protect her, and Eunice looked at her with large innocent eyes, seeking her approval. Persephone broke a twig with leaves from her golden poplar crown and gave it to the girl, the golden bough, the most prized possession of anyone seeking favor from the underworld. Eunice had been granted safe passage between worlds, to come and go as she pleased, to seek knowledge, to seek healing, a favorite of the underworld. Persephone gave the girl a pomegranate for her return journey, so she would eat the seeds and remember she'd earned favor with the goddess of the dead once back to the world of the living, and then gathered the group, half-hearted, to join them on their journey back. She was grateful for this short vacation, where she'd enjoyed the warm embrace of her husband, rest, and the comforts of home, before going back to the world above, which was so aggressive, bright, and unfeeling by comparison. The world which would feed poor Eunice to the monster to ensure its own safety. She shuddered, appalled, and hugged the girl tighter to her bosom, terrifying the youth with the intensity of her unexpected favor. "You take good care of yourself now, you hear me?" Persephone looked her straight in the eyes, hands gripping tight on her shoulders. "Don't worry, I'll watch over you and keep you from harm. I allowed you safe passage to my home, so I expect you to visit now and then," she smiled to allay the latter's discomfort. Persephone chose favorites among humans, not only in the underworld but also in the world of the living. She doled on them her dark gifts, instilling in them wisdom, insight, and magic, and granting them the rare privilege of walking between worlds. Many of whom she had touched gained the gift of prophecy, and for this reason, she was the patroness of oracles. She spoke with the voices of the Sibyls, sometimes allowing the ones whom she favored to gaze upon her countenance. Eunice was awakened by the first rays of sun entering the cave. She wiped the remnants of sleep from her eyes, stretching and bending to chase away the stiffness of the herb-induced slumber and the hard floors, and was surprised to find a pomegranate in her hand, next to a little golden branch. She wasn't sure what she was to do with them either, so she slipped the bough in her belt and, after a little second guessing on whether or not it was proper, she cracked open the pomegranate and ate the seeds.